I've always known that.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Vinny Apicella, and this is the Squirt Circle News, subject to the Squirt Circle's Squirt Circle part of it. Tonight, we will go ahead and talk about quite a number of things in the wrestling industry. Later on tonight, today is Monday, the 11th of September, 2023. 22 years ago, we had a very major tragedy in this country. For those of you who do remember, we'll never forget 9/11. However, with that said, there's a lot of stuff going on today on Patriots Day to talk about. First off, we're going to start with some sad news, and that is that we lost another member of the wrestling fraternity, the WWE legend, General Adnan. Now, he came into the WWE back in 1990. What was it, 1991, with Sergeant Slaughter, when Slaughter had his heel turn and he was going as the Iraqi sympathizer. He came in, he had a long career prior to that. He was 84 years old when he passed away on September 6th. He started as Adnan Casey. His actual name is Adnan Al-Casey, and he was actually childhood friends with former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein, and actually was very close. He defected to the U.S. when there was a falling out with Saddam, when Saddam Hussein became the dictator of Iraq. And he did go on, and he started his career actually as a Native American character named Billy White Wolf. He did win the WWE World Tag Team Championship in 1976. It doesn't even say his partner. maybe it was Chief J. Strongbow, perhaps, or Wahoo McDaniel. I can't remember. But he did go on as Sheik Adnan El-Casey in the AWA and WCCW. But then he was most well known, at least for my generation, me being 42 years old. So as the manager of first Sergeant Slaughter and then Colonel Mustafa being the Iron Sheik, who passed away also earlier this year. So I did put out a post or an excerpt on X saying that, dang, 2023 we lost General Adnan and Colonel Mustafa. We need to protect Sergeant Slaughter at all costs. Our condolences, our love and prayers go out to the family, friends, and fans of General Adnan El-KC, passed away on September 6th at the age of 84 years old. All right, moving on to other news in the WWE. Matt Riddle. Now, I've never been a Matt Riddle fan. I've never been one of the people that actually bought into his character. I never watched him in MMA. I never watched him in MLW. I never even got into him in NXT. He, in my opinion, is just kind of like a ripoff Rob Van Dam. I almost thought I saw something in him last summer when they had his run with Seth Rollins and they did the cage fight, with Bobby Lashley. And we all thought that Daniel Cormier was a guest referee for that match. I was hoping that we saw a glimpse of the actual fighter of Matt Riddle. And he's had a lot of problems in his career he was part of that speaking out movement with some deranged fan that, said that he sexually assaulted her and was, then he went on and, You know, there were pictures of him cheating on his wife with a porn star, and he was at the Adult Movie Award or Adult Video Awards or something like that. Just a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that he's been going through. He's been in rehab numerous times. And, you know, we know that he's an advocate for weed and marijuana, which there's nothing wrong with that. However, it depends on how much he does and what else he's doing besides that. But either way, he's back in the news right now. He accused, apparently, so he I guess he flew into JFK Airport on Sunday. And then he put out an excerpt on X, basically saying to the point that he was sexually assaulted by a member of the TSA or the new to a cop, Port Authority police officer. This post or X-er, I should say, basically said it was deleted, but it was it said nothing like being sexually assaulted and harassed at the JFK airport. No means no, and just because I'm nice doesn't mean yes, asshole. And apparently this had a picture of a Port Authority officer with it. And unfortunately, that caused a lot of chaos because he was heavily intoxicated. He was disruptive as he transferred flights, returning from India. And because he was part of the WWE Superstar Spectacular back down in India. And just a lot of unfortunate problems for Matt Riddle. And like I said, I've never liked him. In my opinion, WWE needs to cut their losses. He's never been anything major. You know, even I even feel like when he was teaming with Randy Orton in RK-Bro, and it brought Randy Orton's stock down instead of Riddle's stock up, because Riddle just, and I get it. You know, some people are just the surfer kind of guy, and, you know, bro, and then that, you know, that's even worse than Vince Russo. I get it. People are like that. It's not for me. I don't like the gimmick. I never really liked him. So in my opinion, WWE needs to cut their losses and just get rid of him, because especially with the Endeavor deal, the Endeavor purchase merger with the UFC that's taking place tomorrow on September 12th. More on that in a little bit. It just needs to be taken care of and done and over with. So Matt Riddle, he's 37 years old. You know, he's got to get his life together. And unfortunately, I feel that WWE needs to get rid of him. But that's just me. I just hope that he gets the help he needs going forward and get to the bottom of this. This is made it to the, you know, the New York Post. No police report was reportedly filed in connection with the incident, but the agency lost an investigation into the claims, Port Authority police spokesman told the Post. So it's being taken seriously, but even though the post was deleted, they have to look into it. But this is the first time that Riddle is the quote unquote victim of a sexual assault, or accused, victim accusing sexual assault rather than being accused of sexual assault. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll take it from there. But Matt Riddle, good luck in your future endeavors, because you're going to need it. Okay, moving on, bigger news. I did mention it just previously, but WWE and Endeavor are coming to the end of the line, and it's going to happen tomorrow. September 12th, 2023 is the day that TKO Group Holdings officially goes public on the New York Stock Exchange. And this will be tonight being the 11th, is the final WWE Monday Night Raw that will be wholly produced by the McMahon family, with the McMahons firmly in charge, Vince owning 80% of the company. Going forward, Vince will own 51%, I believe, or 51% of the stock. I believe that's what it is, of the WWE part of TKO. So it's not even 51% of the whole company. So he could be overruled. With that said, this coming from CageSideSeats.com, there was a press release actually put out by the WWE on the 7th, just a number of days ago. And we knew back in April, they announced it, that Endeavor planned to purchase WWE and merge it with the UFC to form the TKO holding group holdings. It obviously takes a while to finalize, you know, you got to go follow with the SEC, which even the SEC looked into different things. And there were supposedly some lawsuits coming out thinking that there was some inflation of the WWE stock, you know, and not to mention with Vince's problems, public problems that he's had, there's been quite a number of things that have been in the works trying to get the this out and done. But officially, as of tomorrow, it will be done. So this is what the press release says. Endeavor Group Holdings and World Wrestling Entertainment today announced they expect to close the previously announced transaction to form TKO Group Holdings Incorporated on September 12th, after which time TKO will begin trading on the New York Stock Exchange with the ticker symbol of TKO. Endeavor is EVR. Currently, WWE is obviously WWE, so it will be TKO. Now, there's a number of things that go into this, and there's a number of office personnel that are scared, rightfully so, in that the fact is that you've got to think that both WWE and UFC Endeavor have duplicate positions. You know, you don't need two of whatever. You know, you don't need double. So there are going to be some layoffs in the office end, in the corporate end. With that said, I don't think that there's necessarily going to be as many as they expect. Reason being is that you need somebody in TKO now who knows the wrestling business on every aspect of it. Yeah, there are going to be some like accountants and, you know, maybe legal, some legal that may not be with both with a new merged company and have to be let go. My thinking is that you're going to see more people from UFC being let go and more people from WWE staying. Reason being is that you need people that are on the law team that know wrestling law. And you think it's funny, but wrestling law does deal with stuff similar to entertainment law in Hollywood. UFC probably does not have that because they're a sport, you know, they're legitimate sport. WWE is entertainment. They have the WWE films. They have the different WWE contracts or WWE studios, I should say. You know, they have the music group. They have all these different other subsidiaries under WWE. So we'll see how that goes, who may get released. I can guarantee you a couple things. Talent won't be affected. If anything, they might bring new talent in. Hint, hint, CM Punk. They may also, they're not going to touch the writing staff. You're not going to see UFC, because UFC doesn't have writers. So why would you have the, you know, anybody from UFC coming over for that? Now, if there are potential writing talent in UFC that say, hey, I want to take a stab at that, you may see some crossover, which is definitely a possibility. I feel like that's a big possibility of this transaction that's going to happen. So watch Raw tonight. Make sure that you're there. Make sure that you're watching and you're paying attention, because it's the very last Monday Night Raw where Vince McMahon owns 80% of the company. And it's the last one under the McMahon family banner. It's a milestone. You know, after 30 plus years, you know, of Monday Night Raw, after 40 years of being under Vince Jr.'s control, you know, it's just, you know, it's an 80-year legacy in the McMahon family. And now it's going corporate. I mean, it was corporate being publicly traded, but you still didn't have that feeling. So my prayers and thoughts and, you know, wishes is that Shane McMahon comes back and says he bought it out from under Endeavor. But who knows? I don't understand. I don't know. But I would have loved to see it stay in the McMahon family, but sometimes you just, you need the business acumen behind it. So we'll see. I will watch Monday Night Raw, and you know, it's the end of an era. So as of tomorrow, we're going to be seeing TKO Group Holdings in effect on the New York Stock Exchange. So that's about it. We'll move on to something else. All right, moving on to something else that's kind of in the realm of, we'll see how it happens. LA Knight, we know he's been big on SmackDown recently. He's been over, he's gotten over as of like WrestleMania, and they're just, WWE's finally starting to take notice of it. As of this, you know, back at Payback, he had the big win over The Miz with John Cena as the guest referee, and then kind of giving him the rub, you know, holding up his arm. Could we see a John Cena feud with LA Knight in the future? Maybe, maybe. I mean, it looks like we have a feud between The Miz, a feud between The Miz and John Cena with LA Knight included. Although LA Knight, I think, is moving on to bigger and better things. But that depends on if he's going to end up staying with the company. Right now, it looks like Fightful Select is reporting that there's no new deal with WWE. The rumor had it that LA Knight signed a new deal. That's why he's getting a big push right now. However, he's still got a year and a half on his contract. So he's not going to be going anywhere until 2025. With that said, you know, they're trying to lock him up for like a five-year plan right now, a five-year contract. You know, LA Knight's in his 40s. He thought he wasn't being pushed because of his age, which is a possibility. However, if you look at a guy like AJ Styles, who's roughly the same age, maybe a little older than LA Knight, the potential is there for big things to happen. He's not a flash in the pan. He's not somebody like Goldberg that'll come back in, you know, one or two matches a year. You know, he can consistently keep going for the next 5 years, make that money, and then, you know, become that attraction. LA Knight, in my opinion, is probably the best chance to create a new top babyface. As a matter of fact, he's listed as the top babyface on SmackDown currently. So it looks like the WWE and LA Knight are far apart on the contractual, the money side of the contract negotiations. So we shall see how that goes. You know, John Cena endorsed LA Knight as a top babyface. You know, obviously the WWE is going to say that his push is not tied to a new contract. There are people that, you know, and they do, they basically say that there are various wrestlers who have deals that are expiring next year and are still getting pushes. You know, they're not going to job them out for a year and a half, you know. That's just ridiculous, and I think the fans would revolt, honestly. But LA Knight is kind of somebody who organically got over with the fans. Kevin Nash said that he didn't really know anything too much about LA Knight, and he actually liked LA Knight, or he actually likened LA Knight to a mixture of The Rock and Steve Austin. You know, he's one of these Attitude Era fans, and you know, and he's got the catchphrases and the way he walks to the ring and no-nonsense attitude. And he's great on the mic. LA Knight has been great on the mic. And they tried him in that stupid Max Dupree garbage. But anyways, this past Friday on SmackDown, for those of you who know the flub that Kevin Nash did when he made his first appearance on WCW Nitro back in 96, he made a comment to the point of to Eric Bischoff, this is where the big boys play, huh? Look at the adjective play. Now, for everybody who knows, and he's taken a lot of shit over the years about it, the word play is a verb. So LA Knight on SmackDown this past Friday, kind of had a subtle bite back at Kevin Nash to say, you know, he was in the ring talking about, I want to think it was about The Miz. And, you know, he said, you know, it's funny, your theme song, the first line is, or your theme song is named I Came to Play. And if I was a moron, I would say, look at the adjective, but I'm going to say I'm not a moron. So look at the verb play. I'm not here to play. So a subtle dig at Kevin Nash. You know, I'm a Nash fan, and I always have been. I've been a huge Kevin Nash mark for my entire life. Matter of fact, you know, my grandfather, who is probably my idol, passed away in 2000. His birthday was the same as Kevin Nash, is July 9th. So it's one thing for me to say, hey, I really think that is LA Knight is not going to be facing Kevin Nash at any time because Kevin Nash ain't going back in the ring. Although Kevin Nash did have a lot of things to say about CM Punk, and I'll get to that in a little bit. However, I think that I think LA Knight's here to stay. I think they're going to come to a new deal and go from there. But LA Knight, in my opinion, is definitely going to be the top babyface going forward. Cody on Raw, LA Knight on SmackDown. And maybe it's branching, switch him up. But once we get rid of Seth Rollins, I can't stand him. I really can't. I mean, he's a great athlete, but his voice is grating. But once we get rid of Seth Rollins as the world champion and we get Roman Reigns to finally drop the belt, which new rumors are saying they might want him to keep it through WrestleMania 40, but we'll see. But LA Knight is here to stay. And LA Knight is the top babyface. And that's because of the fans. That's not because of what's written on paper. That's because he got himself over. And we'll move right on. All right, moving on to a little bit of sad news again, unfortunately. WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, he had to be rushed into the hospital for emergency surgery, I believe on Monday morning. And I apologize. Sunday morning. And it was this past weekend on Saturday. He went to he was honored by the Glens Falls, New York Firefighters Association, where he grew up, you know, Glens Falls, New York. However, on Saturday, so it must have been Friday night. On Saturday, he ended up getting admitted to the hospital. He had to leave from there in Saturday after Saturday afternoon. Friday afternoon, I believe. So he was taken to the hospital, admitted Saturday evening. He had emergency surgery on Sunday morning, and everything went well. He had to obviously pull away from some commitments that he had, but he's finally started to feel better. This morning, his wife Deborah posted a picture on his X page at Real Hacksaw Jim, and he was actually sitting up in bed. So again, you know, get well soon, Hacksaw. He's somebody we grew up with, whether it be WWE, WCW, or even before that in Mid-South. Even I think he was in Jim Crockett for a while, but either way, Hacksaw Jim Duggan is recovering from an emergency surgery, and he should be back soon. It doesn't go into any details about what happened, just a health issue, but we'll go ahead and keep you posted after everything else goes on. So that's just a little quick blurb about Hacksaw Jim Duggan. All right, moving on to even more WWE news, kind of going over the WWE Supercard, which is Superstar Spectacle in India this past week. They didn't air it on Peacock. They don't have no plans of releasing it on Peacock or airing it. As far as I know, it was just for the local Indian crowd. And it, even though it did feature the in-ring return of John Cena since his last match was at WrestleMania, but John Cena, we'll see him at every SmackDown going forward for the next 2 months simply because of the actor strike. So he's got nothing else to do. Not so much he does love the WWE, I'm going to say that. But here are kind of the results of Fightful Select. Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens defeated Jinder Mahal and then Veer and Sangha. Again, I don't know too much about Veer and Sangha. I mean, I know Veer Mahan was supposed, in those in all of those vignettes last year, Veer is coming to Raw and just never showed up. But Indushare, as Veer and Sangha together are known as Indushare, they did make some appearances on NXT. Jinder Mahal obviously was an, former WWE champion. And Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens together, they won. Apparently, they had some dancing going on. Matt Riddle came out to dance with McIntyre and Mahal, even though I don't know why that would be a thing, but who the hell knows? Natalya defeated Zoe Stark. Gunther defeated Shanky. Shanky, another Indian superstar, doesn't get much recognition on TV. He's been out of action for a while, I believe. Bron Breakker made the trip over there to defeat Odyssey Jones. The Great Khali made an appearance and said his career is not over. Good God Almighty, let's keep it over, please. Keep him out of the ring. He is a WWE Hall of Famer. How, I don't know. Probably just because they want to create interest in India. But who the heck knows? But Great Khali says his career is not over. WWE Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley defeated Natalya. So Natalya defeated two, or wrestled twice on the show. And then Seth Rollins and John Cena teaming together. They defeated Imperium, the team of Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. And there's not much more to go over. I honestly, I didn't see the show because there was nowhere for us to watch it. And those are just the results. I have a feeling they're going to start going to India at least once a year, maybe twice a year. Same thing with Saudi Arabia. Which when was the last Saudi show was earlier this year. They should be having another one, I believe, in probably in November. Either October or November, I think. But they're due for another one because it is like two a year. But it just shows that WWE is a worldwide company, and now with Endeavor behind them and the UFC, a lot of that is going to be focused, worldwide. It's going to be focused on keeping it worldwide. Maybe they will be able to do the NXT Europe that they were going to do and NXT Japan. WWE is going to take over the world. It really will be a world dominated brand, WWE. But who knows who knows who's going to be in charge? I mean, we know that Vince is going to stay in charge of the WWE. He's on the board of directors. Triple H, Paul Levesque is not on the board of directors anymore. That was a big thing, but maybe he just wants to step back. But he's going to retain the COO status, or I'm sorry, CCO, Chief Content Officer, and overseeing Raw and SmackDown and the creative, while Shawn Michaels stays over creative of NXT. So we'll see again. But that was, I wouldn't mind seeing more programming in different countries as long as they show them. I don't know why it wasn't streamed on Peacock. I really don't. I don't work for the WWE. I would love to. If somebody from the WWE is out there and watching, I would love to work for you. But I doubt that's going to happen. So, anyways, those are the results of Superstar Showdown from India. And we'll move on. There's a couple more things to go over. Especially with AEW. I think AEW's about it. Then we'll go forward. All right, and final piece of Squared Circle news for today. More on the CM Punk AEW situation. CM Punk is obviously very polarizing at this point in time. I personally, I feel like CM Punk was in the right for what he did, and should not have been fired from AEW. And I said that last week. Tony Khan felt differently. And you know what? Here's the deal. I personally feel like Tony Khan had to do something, right? He is the owner, manager, whatever, of AEW. President, CEO, blah, 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 right? He had to do something. He's got no backbone because he didn't do anything to avoid the situation. So now he had to do it. Here's the deal. CM Punk, when he came back in June, knew he was going into hostile territory. We knew that the Buckaroos, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega, you know, and Hangman Page and their camp, the Elite, they were against Punk from the start because of what happened at All Out last year, affectionately known as Brawl Out, right? And, you know, Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, they go spouting off stuff on their Being the Elite YouTube show and all that kind of stuff. And it's childish, it's high schoolish, and, you know, they have no business being EVPs of a major wrestling company, in my opinion, you know. And then starting from All In, when Jack Perry decided to take a public shot through the hard camera at CM Punk about the Real Glass comment, and then, you know, came back and he got him into a headlock and what have you. Quite honestly, it was probably months and months of frustration building up for CM Punk because of the simple fact you have a bunch of people who are immature and just indie outlaw wrestlers. And yes, I'll channel Jim Cornette for this, who are running the company over there. Yeah, Tony Khan is a financial backer. But who's really running the company, the quote-unquote EVPs? Cody Rhodes got out of there at the best opportunity, at the first opportunity that he could. First contract was up. He said, you know what? I've got enough equity in my name. I'm going back to WWE where he belongs. And that was, you know, and that's what had to happen. Now, Tony Khan and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, they see that Cody Rhodes left. So they're like, what's the next best thing? Well, Jericho is, you know, in the north of 50. He's not going to be around much longer. Sting is north of 60, and he's not going to be around. John Moxley turned out to be a flop and just a buffoon. So they had to get the next best thing. CM Punk, who left wrestling 7 years ago in that highly publicized feud with the WWE, he was back. He came back. He came back to Rampage, right? So he was on, you know, the first episode of Rampage. I think that's what it was. The first episode of Rampage. And then he was on the first episode of Collision. Because the people over at Warner Brothers Discovery decided, you know, we need to keep this guy here. And he needs a place to be on away from the shenanigans of the other EVPs. So they brought him on. And honestly, Collision was what wrestling, you know, was as close to good wrestling as it can be for that company. Dynamite sucks. It really does. I mean, there's just too many shenanigans on Dynamite. The level of psychology in AEW took a drastic hit because nobody on the indie scene practices psychology because you're really just performing for the live audience on independent shows. CM Punk brought that back. He's been to the major leagues. He's been on WWE. So is Jericho and Sting, but they kind of started to, I guess, blend in, so to speak, and they started to just adapt to what the Elite wanted. CM Punk didn't. FTR, they didn't want to. You know, FTR was so happy that CM Punk came back. And you know what? It would have been great if right from the very beginning it was CM Punk and FTR versus the Elite. That would have taken care of everything. And CM Punk was willing to meet with the EVPs, willing to meet with the Bucks and Omega and, you know, Hangman Page and get everything squashed. But he didn't, because the EVPs called it off and said, oh, if he could behave for 6 months, then we'll meet with him. Well, if you're in a position of power and an EVP of a company, you put your personal feelings aside and you do what's best for business. EVPs don't know how to do that. The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, I'll leave it Omega out of it. But Hangman Page and the Young Bucks and Jungle Boy Jack Perry, they don't know how to be professional. Jack Perry's not an EVP, but the Bucks and I believe Omega are the Bucks and Page, I believe, are. I know the Bucks are. I believe Page is. They don't know how to be professionals because everything was done out of spite, off they shot, so to speak. They went off script and inside baseball. Instead of doing things behind the curtains where nobody belongs, you know what I mean? They do things in front of the camera, whether it's on Dynamite, whether it's on, on a pay-per-view pre-show or even on their YouTube channel, being the Elite. So I understand where CM Punk is coming from. Would I like to see him in the WWE? Well, there's a lot of mixed reviews about that. Kevin Nash says, oh, yeah, bring him in because I'll go in there and beat the shit out of him. Kevin Nash is not a fan of CM Punk. Eric Bischoff, which I'm kind of shocked that Eric Bischoff is not a fan. Not necessarily that he isn't a fan of CM Punk, but he thinks CM Punk was in the wrong. Being a business person that I know of, I would think that he would want Tony Khan and the EVPs of AEW to be held to a higher professional standard. Now, did Punk, you know, react the wrong way or do things the wrong way? Yes. You know, but for Tony Khan to come out and say, I was afraid of for my life, that just made him a laughing stock of wrestling. It really did, in my opinion. I'm sorry. Because if you know the wrestling business, you know that sometimes guys get heated, the testosterone is going, and there could be a brawl. I mean, there could be a fight. There could be some physicality. You know what I mean? That comes with the territory. Now, does it mean that you have to go over and sucker punch anybody just because? No. But personal things happen. You do it in the ring, right? You settle in the ring, and you go beat the crap out of each other, and then at the end of it, you could talk. That's how you deal with conflict in wrestling. Not just, oh, well, we're going to put everybody on indefinite suspension. We'll do this, do that. And, this is the first time I've ever feared for my safety and security in my life. Give me a break. Anyways, I would love to see CM Punk come into the WWE and come back at Survivor Series, which happens to be in Chicago. Now, I don't know if there's a non-compete clause. I mean, if it is, being that he was let go at, oh, goodness. I believe it was the Wednesday. No, I'm sorry. The Friday before All Out, which would have been September 7th, I want to say. No, September. What was the calendar? I'm sorry, Saturday the 2nd. Yeah, Saturday, September 2nd. That's when CM Punk was let go. If there's a 90-day non-compete, he wouldn't be eligible until December, so that rules out the Survivor Series return. Could come back to the Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? It's always a possibility. I think that Vince, you know, because again, as of tomorrow, there's new management, new ownership in the WWE, and they could overrule Vince McMahon. And yeah, Punk has had, you know, but Punk did go backstage to a WWE event, you know, earlier this year. And he was cordial with everybody, talked to Triple H, and it was cordially, and he left without incident. You know, when they said, hey, you know, Vince said, you got to go. We don't want to be suspect of any tampering. And he understood. He understood. So I think it's definitely a possibility that CM Punk could be headed back to the WWE at some point in time, and he'll be able to work with everybody. Because he didn't have any problems with the wrestlers. He had problems with Vince and with Triple H at the time, you know, and the management of the company. So we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be a good idea to have CM Punk back in the fold, especially now. I mean, he's got the biggest buzz coming out of AEW. Same with Cody, only I guess on the opposite scale. and yeah, I mean, could we see a feud CM Punk and Cody? CM Punk and Roman Reigns. The funny part is Roman Reigns has held the title longer. His current title reign is longer than CM Punk's entire career in AEW. because CM Punk started AEW a year in to Roman Reigns' title reign, and Roman Reigns is still the title, and CM Punk is gone. So, anywho, all right, we're about done for today. That was your Squared Circle News Report. My name is Vinny Appicella. Tomorrow being Tuesday the 12th, we're going to record another episode of the Suds part, and then we'll go from there in terms of other programming, but it's a growth process. Hopefully you like the fact that this is broken down into, if you're watching the full feed, thank you. If you're listening to the full feed, thank you. But I did also release shorter episodes of certain topics. So thank you for listening and watching. My name is Vinny Appicella. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and get notified anytime a new release happens on YouTube or the podcasts. And leave us a 5-star review. Comment down below. Like the video. Give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to it, and definitely subscribe. Okay, my name is Vinny. Thank you for watching and listening to the Suds in the Squared Circle, Squared Circle News, right here, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.